Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Last year, Fontbonne University announced its plans to shut down after the summer of 2025. While the school is closing its doors permanently, an initiative that began there, the Center for Bosnian Studies, will continue its mission at a new home. Joining us to discuss the center's move to St. Louis University and how its work collecting and preserving the history and culture of Bosnian refugees in the U.S. continues, we have Benjamin Moore, founder of the Bosnian Memory Project. Ben, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Adna Karamejic-Oates, the director of the Center for Bosnian Studies. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
And glad to have you here. Now, before we start talking about the transition of the Center for Bosnian Studies from Fontbonne to SLU, I'd like to go back to the origins of the center. Ben, you are not Bosnian yourself, yet you founded the Bosnia Memory Project in 2006, which later became the Center for Bosnian Studies. And since then, you've gone on to lead several storytelling events and collaborated with organizations and schools to gather and share oral histories. What compelled you to found the Bosnia Memory Project?
It was really meeting people from Bosnia, people who had survived the genocidal war of the early 1990s, and being impressed not only by what they had endured, but also how they had responded to it by finding a way of living in St. Louis without relinquishing who they were and what they had been through. That was just really interesting. And over time, I had the sense that this ought to be preserved.
Mm-hmm. What were the early days of that effort like?
I'll date everything back to about November 1st, 2006, when we conducted our first oral history of a man named Rešat Kalinović. And I want to credit three other people who were involved in this effort. One of them is Patrick McCarthy at St. Louis University. Another is Amir Karadžić, who was a leader within the Priador refugee community in St. Louis and still is. And then another is my colleague at Fontbonne University, Jack Lutzko, a historian. And together we began interviewing people from the city of Priador for in Bosnia for an exhibit about their experiences that was to be held at the Holocaust Museum and Learning Center. Mm-hmm. But Rešat was compelling, and he had endured things that no human being should ever have to endure. And he was one of the kindest people that I have ever met. And his story was something that galvanized our interest and over time made us realize that this is something we had to continue doing with other people from other parts of Bosnia and who were other ages and who had other experiences.
Mm-hmm. In those early stages of the Bosnia Memory Project, Ben, were there any, you know, unforeseen obstacles that made, you know, collecting and preserving these stories difficult or challenging?
One of them was the emotional impact that it had on those of us who were working with people who had survived these atrocities. And at the time, I didn't really recognize it, but I think a lot of us were experiencing a kind, through empathy, a kind of secondary trauma, mm-hmm, in hearing their stories. So that was one thing that we weren't really well prepared to deal with. Mm-hmm. Another question was who would come to the table to share the story that they had. And we wanted to get a cross-section, but we found that there were many people, a cross-section of this community, but we found that there were many people who, for various reasons, were reluctant to come forward, which I absolutely respect. And so finding narrators for the oral histories was also a difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Now, this year marks the 30th anniversary of the end of the Bosnian War, and it was a war and genocide that lasted more than 3.5 years and forced more than 2 million Bosnians to flee their homeland and disperse across the world. And over 60,000 Bosnian refugees settled in St. Louis beginning in the early 1990s. So, Adna, you know, as generations of refugees have grown up and grown older, have there been any changes in how stories are are told, you know, since the founding of the Bosnian Memory Project and then its offshoot, the Center for Bosnian Studies?
Well, Ben was telling you about the first oral history. You know, since that time, we have recorded almost 300 oral histories, and many of those actually reflect those changes, right? Because in those oral histories, we also have the stories of the younger generation who were born outside of Bosnia, mostly here. And in their stories, you can, you know, you can tell the struggles also that they're having in terms of coming to terms with their past, mm-hmm. with how they understand what happened, what stories they're being told, by whom, where they're learning it, and then with their identity.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anna, you are Bosnian.
Yes.
But you did not come to St. Louis as a refugee. You're also an academic, a scholar. What does the collection and preservation of Bosnian refugee stories mean to you on a personal level?
You know, I'm living outside of my home country, but I almost feel like I have a second home here because I am surrounded by my community mm-hmm. at the same time. And being able to connect with people who have experienced what has happened to my home country, to sort of collectively mourn that, memorialize that, is, you know, it's really sort of a relief. It's a mm-hmm. it's a home away from home, right?
Yeah.
So that is ultimately why I went into this work, to be honest, in,
yeah.
in the first place, and why I keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And during your time leading the Center for Bosnian Studies, Adna, have there been any moments, you know, in the course of collecting oral histories or, you know, at events or programs where stories and experiences are being shared that have really affirmed the importance of the work that the center is doing and what has been motivating you?
Yes. I mean, when you hear, I've had so many moments, I will say, of people talking about how important it was for them to come to a place that was welcoming, right? That had been in a place before they arrived, let's say in St. Louis, that was not as welcoming, where they did not have the same reception, they didn't have the same access to public services. And so talking to people about their experience and sort of the positive also reception that they received in St. Louis and the support that they received in St. Louis, those remind me of why, you know, we have refugee organizations, why we have sort of these support systems for people who come, who have experienced horrible things, who are not, you know, voluntary immigrants, mm-hmm. But that we have to support them. So, yes, absolutely.
Right. And Ben, how about for you? Is there something that you have seen that really has signaled to you that starting the memory, Bosnian Memory Project, was something that was necessary for Bosnians, but also for people like you here in St. Louis?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that I've worked with teachers, high school teachers at Afton and Bayless High Schools who are teaching courses about Bosnian American studies, and I've seen the way in which non-Bosnians respond to the experiences of their neighbors. And it's an eye-opener for them, and it's been an eye-opener for me to understand how people can survive horrendous circumstances and still maintain a love of their family and their communities.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a huge lesson, maybe the most important lesson. The other thing I'll mention is learning that Rashad Kalenovic had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact years. It was about 8 years ago, I believe. But it signaled to us, first of all, that times were changing quickly and that the first Bosnians who arrived in St. Louis weren't going to be here forever. So we have a historical window in which this research is possible.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue our conversation with Ben Moore, the founder of the Bosnia Memory Project, and Adna Karamejic-Oates, who is the director of the Center for Bosnian Studies. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's continue our conversation with Adna Karamejac-Oates, the Center for Bosnian Studies director, and Benjamin Moore, founder of the Bosnian Memory Project, which was housed at Fontbonne University and grew into the Center for Bosnian Studies. Now, the center is in the midst of transitioning to its next phase of development, which is moving to a new home at St. Louis University. And to talk with us a little bit about that, I'd like to introduce another voice to this conversation. Jennifer Neutfall is the Dean of Libraries and Museums at St. Louis University, which is the soon-to-be new home for the Center for Bosnian Studies. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you.
So can you tell us, Jennifer, how SLU came to be the new home for the Center for Bosnian Studies?
It was sort of a two-path conversation. So Ben mentioned Patrick McCarthy,
right,
who works in the libraries at SLU, has been involved in the center really from the beginning. And so he'd been talking with Adna about what its future might be before Fontbonne's formal announcement. And then the provost at Fontbonne was talking to the provost at SLU about the possibility of transitions. And I was brought into that conversation. And so those conversations converged. And it really was just a natural fit, that both the center wanting to come to SLU and SLU really being, I think, the right home for the center.
Mm-hmm. And what does this, what about it, that is, makes the move make sense for St. Louis University?
So as a Catholic Jesuit institution, you know, social justice, walking, you know, with the underserved, you know, those are key principles of the university. And so really preserving and continuing the center's work, the community engagement that happens there is really foundational to who we are as an institution. And I think that that's part of what makes it such a good fit.
Mm-hmm. And I do realize there's some history between the Bosnian Center, the Center for Bosnian Studies, and SLU. How else, though, Adna, did this move make sense?
Well, there's a very large Bosnian student population at St. Louis University, which is will obviously be very helpful and was appealing in terms of this move. Besides that, St. Louis University is a research institution, and the collections really are there for research. So it made sense from that perspective that there will be a lot more access to the collections and use of the collections than has been possible until this point.
And I think this point about students, too, university encompasses not just undergraduates, but graduate students as well. So that is something that really came to mind as I was thinking about this transition from one institution to another. Was there ever, though, Adna, a consideration of moving to another place? So I believe in Chicago, there is a very large population of Bosnians there too. Why not move it elsewhere?
I think fundamentally we knew that the center and the Bosnia Memory Project started in St. Louis. The materials are really the community's materials, right? We have to recognize that this is an archive of the community in St. Louis. So our preference was always really to stay in St. Louis, where the community helped to build the Bosnia Memory Project and the Center for Bosnian Studies, and continues to contribute to its development.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, who's the Center for Bosnian Studies for? You know, when it moves to SLU, that move is complete, who will have access to all of the archives that Adna has spoken about?
So the center will really be for everyone. The Bosnian American students at SLU are really excited about that transition and it coming over. But it will be for, you know, for obviously SLU, faculty, students, researchers, those outside the community, but making that material accessible. So the center already has a large digital archive, which is going to be obviously part of that transition. It also has the physical footprint, and so people would need to use that on site. But but it's really how can we help increase the visibility, I would say, within the St. Louis community, but then also outside of that, for other researchers doing where this is of interest, to bring them to St. Louis to look at these materials.
Mm-hmm. And will students be using the archive in any very specific ways related to what they're studying, or?
Yeah, so so the collection itself is going to be housed in our distinctive collection, so archives, rare books, and other materials. And so there's a lot of instruction that, so the librarians that work with those collections work with faculty to integrate those materials into their courses. And so we're already thinking about ways or specific classes where we could bring those materials out.
Mm-hmm. The oral histories, Ben, you had mentioned narrators, and what we're talking about are oral histories that people can listen to, not merely transcribed. What is the research value, Adna, of being able to hear people give their accounts of what happened to them?
You know, it's a different thing to hear, for instance, the emotion when somebody's talking about the worst thing that has ever happened to them than reading it, right? So I think to really connect with the meaning and sort of the life-changing nature of what happened in Bosnia and the genocide and the war crimes, I think to empathize with, you know, your research, I think it's so valuable to be able to listen to that. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, I think the oral histories, you know, you have these perspectives, for instance, from young people, and you can hear in their voices sort of that, what I was talking about earlier, the struggle of how they're, you know, trying to figure out what parts of me are American, what parts of me are Bosnian, right? That does not come out on paper. And I think mm-hmm. being able to transcribe the emotion as you're working on your research as well is so valuable.
Mm-hmm. So there are physical items, books and other things that are part of what has been housed and collected by the Center for Bosnia Studies. What has the process been like to move that from the former home at Fontbonne to St. Louis University?
We're in the process of that as we speak, right? We're in a very logistical stage right now.
Okay.
So the move will happen by June 30th. What we have done so far is measured all the materials on SLU's side. They have figured out where the materials will go. So it's a lot of logistics.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the digital side, right? That it requires space. It requires setting up access on the back end, website, all of those things. So we are in the thick of it at the moment.
Ben, have you seen all of this, all of what has been collected? Or?
Well, I've had a firsthand view of a lot of the collections as they've been building up over mm-hmm. the years. And it is a significant amount of material. And it's been preserved wonderfully by our archivist, Rebecca Van Niest. And it's going to be quite an undertaking to move all of that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have complete runs of two Bosnian diaspora newspapers that were published in the United States that are going to be a real challenge to move. So this is going to be a real challenge and a process.
Yeah. How does it feel to look at all of that?
You know, I've had...
The sigh says it all.
I think the sigh says it all because it started just as the oral histories at the beginning, you know, with the Bosnia Memory Project. And then it was, as people became familiar with what Ben and Patrick and others were trying to do, more material started coming in. And that's how actually the Bosnia Memory Project became the Center for Bosnian Studies, because mm-hmm. it wasn't limited anymore. We realized that there was so much more to collect, and people had so many materials they wanted to give for preservation. So, and we keep hearing about new things, you know, and have to say, let us move first, right, and then we can take on the next materials.
Yeah. Jennifer, how much does this excite you and challenge you, you know, to bring an archive of this volume and this nature into St. Louis University?
It's exciting and daunting at the same time. I have never in my long career participated in a move quite like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's one thing to move physical items, but there's also what we call ephemera, so more physical, like costumes or flak jackets or those types of things, mm-hmm. along with the very large digital footprint. And so I really have to give credit to my team at SLU Libraries for really working through and continuing to work through all the details.
Mm-hmm. So the oral histories and how they're kept, I mean, we're a radio station, so we're dealing with audio. Is this all digital, what you have, or are there physical copies of the audio?
It's all digital. They're audio and video.
Mm-hmm.
And very often accompanying the oral histories, we also have photographs or other materials that people or narrators have given mm-hmm. Alongside their oral histories.
Yeah. Ben, when you founded this project, the Bosnian Memory Project in 2006, the word choice here was key, right? Why memory versus, you know, the Bosnian History Project or the Bosnian Remembrance or Memorial Project?
Memory is something that plays out on a individual and a collective level, and it's something that changes from day to day. And I think with the word memory, we were able to honor the dynamic nature of Bosnians' experiences, and we were also able to honor the fact that there were individuals who were dealing with the legacy of genocide, and there is a community that is dealing with the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you provide an example, perhaps, Adna, of how the center has been utilized in a way that is important for the present and for the future?
Well, I can give you an example, very recent example. We had a group of students from St. Joseph's Academy mm-hmm. who are in a human rights course come and visit the center. And they were learning about different human rights violations. They had studied about Rwanda. They had studied, of course, obviously about the Holocaust and wanted to learn about Bosnia as well. And having a place like the center where they could see physically some of the materials really brought it home to them to hear some of the oral histories. We showed a video actually of someone, a young lady who was interviewed as for one of the oral histories, you know, someone of their age. So I think they were really able to connect. So that younger generation that can process, see, and understand the past, but then also our present and how it can repeat itself.
Mm-hmm. And as we close here, maybe it's not fair to ask this question at the end, but you know, so much of what we talked about is about trauma, about violence, about coming to terms with things. But have you seen any examples of how sharing has contributed to a person or a family's coming to a place where they can let some of the burden down? Not forget about it, but let it down so that they can move forward in some way?
I think we have that within some of the families that are, there's two schools in St. Louis, two high schools that are part of the Center for Bosnian Studies high school program. It's Afton High School and Bayless High School. And in those courses, students, many of them being Bosnian American, conduct oral histories themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they choose to interview their family members. And in some cases, that is the first time that they're having a conversation about what happened. So I think that is probably the best demonstration of why we do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Because it enables that conversation.
Adna Karamejic-Oates is director of the Center for Bosnian Studies. Benjamin Moore is founder of the Bosnian Memory Project. And Jennifer Nudfall is dean of libraries and museums at St. Louis University. Jennifer, Ben, and Adna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Fatma.
episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.